Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague, Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. Keefe spent the first few days of the week between two imperatives, one, the counteroffensive, and two, the breaking of the dam from, we're told, the inside, and we're told it is Russian saboteurs. Of course, the Russians say it's Keefe saboteurs, but in any event, it's been called ecocide. The counteroffensive is more compelling right now because fog of war, we don't know if it's successful. The reports from London suggest there are successes and some disappointments on the battlefield. Professor, the twist here is that Keefe exists as long as the United States and NATO continue to support both the war effort and the population and the structure that's necessary to keep the pipeline of equipment and fuel and electricity flowing. So Keefe's point of view right now is entirely dependent on capitals that it doesn't have major influence. What is Keefe's point of view, knowing how vulnerable it is to NATO?
Well, Keefe has finally begun to show their cards and to commit their irreplaceable weapons, and they appear to be enjoying some success. I think it's not entirely the case that if the United States cut off support, this war would end. I think that the countries around Ukraine that know that their fate, they share the same fate as Ukraine, will pitch in and fight. So this could become very, very ugly. We could have a very, very confused situation unless we get some kind of a clean victory. And the Americans, we should be focused on helping Ukraine to achieve a clean victory. And once that is achieved, then we move to the diplomatic stage. My own position is I'm rather optimistic about Kiev because remember that Ukraine is 233,000 square miles. That's a Belgium bigger than France, and that's a very large country. And the Russians have got troops scattered all over it, holding various bastions. And what Ukraine has to do is somehow isolate these bastions and cut the absolutely critical lines of communication, which run from the upper right-hand corner of Kiev and Belgorod and so forth, south. And this is cutting lines of communication and selectively besieging Russian targets makes it possible to completely disarrange whatever the Russian defensive strategy is. And I think that they are thinking that way. But I would add the consideration that if Russia doesn't, that Kiev isn't going to lose completely, even if Russia does well, we may get into a what we call stagnation. That is a situation in which plenty of people are dying on the battlefield, but there is no direction leading to an exit from the war. I hope that the United States is aware of that. I think it is pathetic that they don't have, they're now, the Australians are sending F-18s, but I think the lack of air power, it is culpable on the part of the United States that we should not understand that if you're going to fight an all-out war-ending offensive against Russia, one of the greatest military powers in history, that you actually do need aircraft, and that putting aircraft in, given what the Russians are throwing at Ukraine, given the fact that they have blown up a dam that's existed since the 1950s, that is of critical importance to water supply, to agriculture, and all the rest, they're not going to get upset. They will get upset if they're American planes, but this has got to be won, and we can't say to the doctor. I remember Mao when he found that Zhou Enlai had cancer. Mao was planning to kill Zhou Enlai, but what he did was write a note saying, "Don't treat him except with herbal remedies, no surgery." And Zhou was a beloved figure, so the surgeons did exploratory surgery, and they got out almost all the cancer, but not enough. And Zhou died, leaving Mao in sole power, which panicked the Chinese because they knew that Mao was a madman. We must not take the kind of half measure that Mao did then. We've got to be the firstest with the mostest, and the Ukrainians have got to win. It's simply, this cannot be a Russian win.
Professor H.A. Machender, International Relations, Six Capital, Six Points of View. We're going to the most mysterious capital of all this last week. That would be Washington, D.C., now shrouded in the unusual fact that the major candidate for the presidency from the opposite party is under indictment by the Department of Justice of the sitting president. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.